We wanted to talk a little bit this morning about interreligious dialogue, which has taken on a whole new kind of meaning in our particular time, where Christians are learning from Buddhists, and Buddhists are learning from Christians and Hindus, etc., in a dialogue about what it means to be human being at the very deepest level. Recognizing something we probably as humanity have never recognized before, and that is how finite our religions are and how universal are the deep things that every religion points to. That there's something about every human being that is exactly the same if you go deeply enough into what it means to be a human being. At the same time, we have such a variety of ways of coming at it. I want to talk just real briefly, and then we're going to have a little another get acquainted operation where we'll divide into groups of threes and share with each other a little bit of our experiences of this interreligious dialogue. We're going to be mainly focused this week, this day, tomorrow, next day, on the dialogue between Buddhism and Christianity. But behind that dialogue is a deeper kind of thing, how the West encounters the East in its religious formations. And by the West, I mean the religious formations that came into being around the city of Jerusalem. That's Judaism and Christianity and Islam. And the West also includes those philosophies of life that came into being around the city of Athens, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle, how these blended together made the foundational sensitivities of the West. Then in the East, along the Indus River, something began happening very long ago, which we now refer to as Hinduism, and in that Old Testament context, Buddhism took place as a kind of proselytism, if you like, in the midst of the Hindu world. And then Buddhism spread east and west and north throughout the Orient, along to Tibet, along to Japan, and Korea, and Vietnam, and so on. And these two worlds looked at life quite differently. It's only been in the last couple hundred years where this conversation was deep enough to really understand how different, how wonderfully different it was. In the West of Jerusalem, North Athens, embassies was the focus. That may be hard to believe because in our midst of time, it's very difficult for some of us to be intimate, to really share our lives. But this was the metaphor of Moses and the guys and girls of this breakthrough. It was, I and thou. And the realization that any time I'm up against another human being, I'm up against an I. That sees me as a thou. And this looking into the eyes of another human being and realizing that there's another thing exactly like me looking back is a deep religious pattern. And around this whole particular thing, the religions of the Old Testament, grown out through Christianity and Islam, evolved. Now this I thou thou I thing created a we. The we of Israel, the we of the kingdom of God, the we of the people of Islam. And that we are an I as part of we. And this we is in dialogue with a thou. But literally, that rocks us to the bottom of our beings with the events of the life of Jesus and so forth. And this I thou awareness, being the inference, the sometimes it has, I don't think of a little ritual like this, where the lift says, what was before the Big Bang? And the congregation says, infinite silence. And the liturgy says, and where is the infinite silence today? And the congregation says, everywhere. Somehow it is said that just behind everything that happens to us, every temporal event, this thou is shining through that event. And that's exactly why all happens when that happens. And this we is the community of all before this awe that breaks through each and every event. Now we, in this community, some of us have seen this symbol before. This being a wedge of humanity entering the future and encountering in the future this vow. These Western religions were religions of history. And this part of this wedge is the we who is opening to this dialogue with the thou confronting you from the future. And this we distinguishes itself in trusting this thou over against the common state of humanity, which is mistrust or experience of despair over life going where it's going or not going where I wish it was going or whatever else. Well, this we is those who are experiencing love of reality and all the real beings of which you're part, as opposed to the major style of humanity, which is some form of malice. Or this we is the we that has discovered their freedom to leave Egypt, or to leave fear of death, or to leave following their habits and being the real response to the real reality that's really, really, really real over against people who live in slavery to some bondage or another, some habitual ideology or another, and so forth. So this we-thou dialogue has been well examined by many of us through that particular model. And it's like all of this defines what this group of people meant by prayer. We're going to look at prayer this afternoon. But there's no way to understand what this heritage is meant by that word unless you understand back behind it, this infantile, that in every moment of your life, you are part of a we who understands itself in relationship to an infinite vow. Now, other side of the river, the mountains, whatever, of the east, a different preoccupation began there, spirit journey. Many words have been used, but this one has been very helpful for me to understand something. This war is not me. I'll see these things go back there. I'm about to have a D there, identity. Concerned with identity, with identity beyond the identity of ego, beyond the identity of personality and faith, often called liberation, freedom, enlightenment. And this identity in Hinduism was talked about as another kind of self. They called the Atma. A self quite beyond what we normally think of as ourselves, our bodies or our minds, thoughts or our accomplishments or our social culture or anything. An eternal eye of sorts. And this word words parallel the struggle over here, if you look at it deeply. The Brahman is actually pointing to the same thing as the Thou of biblical tradition. It's the awesomeness. And the Brahman is related to the experience of the death of our being, of the all. And one of the great sayings of Hinduism is this one. This is not a philosophical idea or something you can make any sense out of whatsoever. It's a great poem, if you like. It's a great mystery. That somehow the mystery of it all and the mystery of me is one and the same mystery. That who I am, my identity, is being that absolute relationship, that absolute identity. And so it's a great emphasis in oneness. That I'm not just a separate individual, though I am a separate individual. I absolutely need every one of you, and every one of you is unique to everybody else. On the temporal level, human beings are absolutely unique. But as you push to the bottom of being a human being, you are, as someone said, no longer unique. You are just a drop of water in the ocean. Or in other ways, instead of being a drop, I am now the ocean. All kinds of enigmatic, foolish and sounding mystical way to talk about it. But this sense of oneness with one another, sense of oneness with the animals, trees, cosmos as well, characterizes this heritage. Now back to this eye, this real eye. This is the carried over to Buddhism as a sangha of enlightened beings. It's carried over to Buddhism as the no-self. Buddhism emphasized, especially in the early days of its development, that whatever it is that you thought of yourself is not you. Not you. Not you. Not you. And in fact, Buddha, because he was so concerned that you could ever in the world confuse who you are with who you think you are, he just underlined this with becoming the no-self. I really rebelled against that for a long time, but I had worked so hard to become a self of some sort or another, that when I learned from Buddhism about no-self, I just sort of took my teachers aside and took them to task. Until I, after some time, finally got it. That when you enter into that void, you enter into a space, an openness, a hugeness, and this really means a great self. A great self of hugeness, of spaciousness, of openness, no longer restrained and restricted by what I thought self meant. But now I have this contact with infinity, with everything. So the no-self becomes the Buddha self, as Buddha has developed, and the Buddha self has qualities, and talks about trying to get around to that, emphasis more on this qualities of this new self, this expanded self, this great self, and not quite so much on the no-self, but the void never ends. It's always within this great void that you discover this new great self. Well, this is a very quick, as you can imagine, summation of immense things that are going on in the dialogue of the world. And I'm not going to give a real lecture on this. I'm just trying to give a little hint as to the profundity of it. So we can just share a little bit in circles of three our own experience of this dialogue between Buddhism and Christianity, or between the East and the West, or you don't know, have any positive experience of Christianity, you just talk about your Buddhism, or if you don't have any positive experience of Buddhism, you just talk about your Christianity, or if you have no positive experience of either, you can talk about not having a positive experience of either. But anyway, talk about it from your own experience, how you experience something in these two heritages that have had some impact and meaning for you, and still do, and how you're opening and struggling to be a part of this dialogue or not. So I want you to choose somebody you don't normally sleep with, or someone you don't normally meet with weekly, or something like that. So get a group of people that you know less well than that. It's just possible that we finally have a couple in the same group we can trade out till we get that worked out. So, y'all are right there. We're going to talk about 5 minutes apiece. I didn't know that. For 5 minutes apiece, you're going to talk about your experience of Christianity, Buddhism, and how they relate to you. So everybody here, let's talk about this, how we're going to do this.
You want to stay in this area or go in another part of the
room? We can go anywhere in the room here, but be in earshot because we're going to change. I'm going to give you the 5 minute warning. And so be in earshot from here. So find the groups, and I'll give you the signal to start with the first person to call. There we go. You and I need to be in a group.
We got to find the